is what you'll get. This is what you'll get. This is what you'll get when you mess with us.
Unfortunately, for
everyone involved,
including us,
most of all us.
Yes, it's such a hard task at hand to sit here and talk
about things we talk about anyway.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
It is.
It's tough. It's challenging. You know,
life is hard.
Life is hard, and then you die.
It's
and
hard out there. It's hard for a pimp.
It's hard out there for a pimp and a hoe. Who is the hoe, though?
You are.
Oh, you're the pimp?
I would definitely be the pimp as opposed to the hoe.
All right.
In this scenario.
I will accept your reality as my own. So, welcome. This is Fourth Floor. This is the Fourth Floor.
The real
Season
fourth floor.
2, Episode 6, That Old Familiar Feel that...
Wow.
Fail. That was an epic fail of epic proportions. Let's try that again.
Yes.
This is the Fourth Floor.
Yes.
Season 2, Episode 6, That Old Familiar Feeling.
There you go.
God damn it, Max Payne.
Max Payne.
Why, Max? This is the show. You know, this is what we do sometimes once a week, sometimes whenever we can. Whenever we can. You know, who knows? We've been kind of crazy lately.
Well, yeah, it's summer.
Summer.
Summer makes us a little out there.
So, we kind of have new Facebook friends, but they're, like, businesses, like nightclubs and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a little weird. Like, thanks for listening. If you're going to play our stuff at the nightclub.
What are you smoking?
Nothing.
Yeah,
exactly.
Nothing.
That's the problem.
I was thinking maybe
crack. But since we have no actual new friends this week.
Right.
We're just probably going to have to go off the air again until we get two more, because... That's what happened last time. We were off the air for 3 months, and we got two friends, so...
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what you're gonna do?
Yeah, I'm just gonna cancel the show until people like us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's a dog who wants to be on our show.
I know, he's gonna be whining to you the whole time.
Rocky Balboa.
By the way.
Yeah.
Rocky Gerstle.
So, it is June. That means we have a new charity of the month.
Ugh, yes. We do.
This month's charity is People for the Ethical Treatment of Vegetables. We are actually, this is our charity that we found it.
You found
that
it.
That I found it. That this was a joint venture.
No, Orly wasn't.
It was a joint venture between the two of us.
It was not.
We are getting really tired of, you know, people eating vegetables.
Eating vegetables.
And cutting down trees. You know, it's just, trees have feelings, you know. And
trees have feelings.
And we really think that, I mean, you know, we're not opposed to all forms of farming. As long as the plants are treated ethically, treat them with love and respect, and don't just
like
vicious,
a kosher killing of a tree.
Don't just viciously rip them out of the ground. So, yeah, we'll have more information on PETVA later on this month, down the line. But, yeah, pay attention to that. We might have to organize a rally against the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. It's crazy, you know,
what is it, like, are you at war with them?
Yeah, we're at war with PETA.
No.
Yes, we're at war with PETA. We hate animals, actually. They're all meant to be eaten.
Eat them all. Dogs included.
Dogs included, and cats. Who are we to decide?
Who are we to judge?
Who are we to judge what you want to do? So... that's it. That's charity of the month. We're jumping the shark.
Integrity.
Where have you gone? No, there's no integrity anymore. Screw integrity.
Apparently not.
Yeah, wait till next month's charity of the month.
Oh, God.
Saints Big Time Adventure Camp.
Oh, good.
Awesome. So, let's go to weeks. It says on the outline that I'm supposed to go first.
Go ahead.
I always set myself up for this. Did we talk about Incubus last?
No.
No?
Did we?
I don't know.
Who knows?
No, I don't remember what we talked about.
No, me neither. Not at all. All
right. Anyway, it was your birthday, so yeah, we already talked about that.
Yeah.
Never mind. All right. Well, then we're good. Okay. Yeah, because it was May 17th when that episode came out.
Okay,
so
yeah.
That was afterwards.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. Weeks. Well, I watched Human Centipede 2. It was right. It was so gross.
Wow.
So gross. But, yeah. It was, yeah. It was done in this, like, weird black and white style that was just kind of, like,
that's
I don't know.
That's kind of cool, though.
Like, I don't, yeah, it was kind of cool. And, like, to be honest with you, the grossest part about it wasn't even necessarily the Human Centipede part. It was the fact that the villain was, like, this big, fat, like, disgusting looking guy with like bulging eyes who like always had like an inhaler. He was always like taking hits from his inhaler and like always running around in his underwear and just like just disgustingly like creepy like fat guy. And it was just like, oh my god, like, oh, this is so creepy and like he's so disgusting. And that was like really the most disgusting part. There were some really graphic scenes involving ligaments and laxative.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I want to sit in like the writer's table. I want to be like I want to be able to go back in time and sit around the writer's table for this movie.
Like, yeah. And so we're coming up with this idea.
Yeah.
That you know, we're going to tear some ligaments out of some guy's fucking knee or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, it was really nasty. Like you show him like cutting into like the knee and then like lifting up the skin and pulling the ligament out. And I was like, oh, thank God this was in black and white. Because if that was in color, oh my God.
It would have been bad.
Yeah, and then of course, I want to sit around like the writer's table and just be like, yeah, so in the first movie, right, we had them shitting in each other. So what are we going to do this time? What can we possibly do to make that even grosser? Oh yes, laxative. Laxative is what we need here. But it was like one of those, it was like a meta movie. It was like, so like the guy, the villain, like he had watched, like he was obsessed with the first movie.
Right.
And so he decided he wanted to create his own centipede.
That's so twisted.
It was even like, that was even more twisted than just like some crazy doctor who like wanted to create a pet.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my god. And like he didn't talk the entire time. Like there was like a lot of cool stuff in it. And there was also a lot of stuff that was just kind of like, I was just kind of like, eh. It was like, I've been there, done that.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
It was, like, some of the newer stuff they introduced was kind of cool. Like, the more people and, like, how he was getting the people and, like, the whole thing with his family and, like, the whole psychology behind it. Mm-hmm. And there was some really creepy stuff with, like, some doctor.
If you can stomach it.
Yeah, but it was so disgusting. I was glad I was done eating at certain parts.
Eating. I can't even believe you're eating during it.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I do.
I can't even think about it and eat.
Yeah, that's what I do. And then, let's see, I beat Max Payne 3, which we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
And I also beat Half-Life 2, which we're also going to talk about in a little bit later on down in the show. And, yeah, I haven't really done anything else other than that. So, it's your turn.
My brother got married.
Oh, yeah, that's right, your brother did get married.
My little brother got married.
Uh-oh.
Yep. So, that was a huge deal. We had some drama with that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The tuxes were a little bit of drama. Then the night before the wedding, the cake got messed up. Oh, it was drama. It was insane. But we pulled it out, as we always do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful. And everybody was happy.
Right.
So it was totally worth it. Right. And that's really all I did. I mean, that was pretty much all consuming, other than watching
anything,
the kids.
Did you see anything cool or anything? Like, any movies or anything like that?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Okay. Didn't hear any new music or anything?
New music, no.
No?
I've been soundhounding everything.
Oh.
Which is awesome, but, yeah.
All right. Well, you know.
My new phone. I got my new phone.
Yeah, you did get your new phone.
So that rolls.
Yeah. How is the new phone? What kind of phone is it?
It's A Viper, it's called.
Okay.
An LG Viper.
All right. And what's it like? I mean, how...
Just like an iPhone.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same, except it's an Android.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's it work?
It's just the same way as an iPhone with all the apps and...
I'm asking for a review.
I mean, a review. I like it. I think it's fast. It holds the charge really well.
Right.
And it doesn't take forever to load my friggin' texts. And I can delete them if I need to.
Hooray!
Hooray!
Alright, so it sounds pretty good. Sounds like the Viper is pretty decent.
Yeah.
Alright.
I like it.
Alright, that sounds good. Sounds good. Alright, well, it is pretty much, summer movie season's pretty much started.
Yes.
I mean, you could officially say it started with the Avengers a couple weeks back. But,
yeah, for sure.
But, you know, with Memorial Day having passed this past week, which we were off the air for, and due to all the craziness that was going on.
Right.
We're going to do our, I guess it's almost annual now, because we did this last year, too. You know?
What?
Our summer movie preview.
Did we?
Yeah.
So, it's our annual summer movie preview.
Yeah, I mean, this is like the most exciting time for movies.
Yes, I agree.
Not necessarily because you're going to get a lot of Oscar buzz around any of these films, but just because these movies
are
just so much fun.
Right.
They're perfect movies to, like, and we think these are the movies that you should really be, you know, there's probably not too much of a surprise on any of this list.
No.
If you've been following movies, you probably are already aware of all these, but, you know, so I think we're going to start off with the one that you're supposed to be seeing tonight.
Yeah.
Snow White and the Huntsman.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Kristen Stewart's in it.
Charlize
Theron's in it.
Yeah, I like her.
Chris Hemsworth's in it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of cool.
He's alright.
I'm really kind of starting to like him.
I was not impressed.
You're not impressed with him as Thor?
I was not impressed with him as Thor.
I think he was really good as Thor.
I hope he's not like that in this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I struggled with it a little bit.
Really?
I thought the acting was lacking.
Oh. See, I kind of liked him as Thor. I thought he was good as Thor.
Okay.
Anyway, but this movie does look pretty legit. I mean, it's definitely a Snow White movie for the Twilight kids, which is kind of like, kind of has me a little bit upset. But at least they're trying to do something a little bit different with Snow White instead of just like,
same story again.
Here's Snow White, she dies, and then the prince comes and saves her. At least in this one, like, the huntsman's like, goes out to, he's sent out to kill her, and he's all like, I don't want to kill her, what are you going to do about it? And, of course, they send him out anyway.
That is the story, though.
And, of course, they send him out anyway, and he's just like, all right. He tells the queen. In the trailer, he tells
the
queen.
No way.
Yeah, in the trailer, he tells the queen, right? He goes up to Chris Hemsworth goes up to Charlize Theron, and she's like, you will kill Snow White. And he's like, what if I refuse to? And then they, like, start, like, poking with spears, and he's like, all right.
All right.
But then they just send him out by himself, apparently.
You talked me into it. Nobody to watch his back.
Yeah, nobody to watch his back to make sure he actually follows through with it. Just send him out. He'll do it because we'll kill him.
Yeah, show him.
Yeah, that was just
clever.
Yeah, that's probably like the biggest plot hole I've seen so far, and that was in the trailer.
Oh god.
So, yeah, but I mean, I like the visuals. I think visually it's going to be really great.
That's why I want to see it. I'm not seeing it for story. If I was, I wouldn't be seeing it.
Right, but I'm thinking I'm just probably just going to wait until I can Blu-ray rent it.
Yeah.
At this point, because I really don't have the money to go see it. I mean, you have the money to see it, that's fine. You know, but I'm probably just going to wait until I can rent it on Blu-ray. And watch it on my TV.
Right.
That's one of the, like, it had, like, that, like, having that HDTV has made it a little bit easier to pick and choose which movies I'm going to go see now. Because it's kind of like, alright, I got a 31-inch TV. It's not huge.
No.
I don't get the same sound quality, but it does have good sound on it, that TV.
Yeah, it does.
And it has great visuals, so, you know, why not? If it's a movie that I'm, like, kind of, like, on the fence about, why spend that money on it? Unless I'm like
it's
just
so expensive now.
Unless I'm just like compelled to go anyway, because like, oh, all my friends are getting together, let's go to the movies.
Well, that's different.
Yeah, that's different.
That's a social setting.
Yeah, that's a social setting. It's not a movie like Snow White and the Huntsman is a movie that I'm pretty comfortable that I could wait for.
Unless a bunch of people go and you want
to
go.
Yeah, unless the opportunity arises and somebody's like, let's go see it, and I'll be like, all
right. Right.
And the same for the next movie on our list, The Bourne Legacy, with Jeremy Renner and Edward Norton.
You were all excited about it last night.
I am excited for it, but it's one of those movies where I could probably just sit there and be like, all right, I'll wait for the...
There's no reason to see that on the big screen.
No, well, actually, I don't know. After seeing Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol last year on the big screen, those movies are fun on the big screen. Actually,
Bourne Identity is different than Mission Impossible.
No, I know, but they're still fun on the big screen.
Yeah, but it's just action. It's not Mission Impossible is like big action.
Oh yeah, Bourne Legacy really isn't big action. Bourne Legacy is more like a spy kind of
thriller,
spy versus spy kind of thing.
Yeah, it is.
I kind of like the fact that Matt Damon is not necessarily in the movie, although they do mention Jason Bourne in the trailer. So I'm kind of interested to see if he actually shows up in the movie.
Yeah, I'd be interested.
If he does, like, a cameo, probably, or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Because apparently it's, like, some other dude in the program.
Yeah. There's a whole bunch of dudes in the program, apparently. They just don't know how many. And that's right. Jeremy Renner. Jeremy Renner's kind of... Let me tell you, he's been around for a little bit, Jeremy Renner, and I never really paid attention to
him. Wasn't he in the Hurt Locker?
I think so.
He was, like, the main guy.
Yeah. I didn't really pay too much attention to him. And I really need to start paying attention to his movies. Go back through his catalog and see some of his other stuff.
Yeah.
Because he's really good. Like, he was fantastic in Avengers.
Fantastic, I think, is a little much, but he was good. He held his own.
He held his own, but when you're going up against a cast with Samuel L. Jackson...
Oh, I know, it was tough.
...and Robert Downey Jr., I'd say that outside of Mark Ruffalo and
who
stole the show. Yeah, he really did steal the show.
He was my favorite.
He really did. He did a really good job
as awesome.
Bruce Banner. But and so did the guy who played Loki for a change, even though the characterization of Loki was kind of generic.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of that guy.
Yeah, but he was good though.
Mm.
Anyway, we're way off topic. Anyway, Jeremy Renner is impressing me. I really like to see more from him.
Okay.
Coming up. All right, so the next one is one that I probably am going to end up seeing in the movies just because it looks freaking awesome.
What?
Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
Absolutely.
Just because I don't want to wait to see it, I actually want to go see exactly what the hell they do with this.
Yes.
It comes out... Oh, I forgot to mention. Bourne Legacy comes out in August 3rd, 2012.
Right, August 3rd.
August 3rd. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter coming out June 22nd. Lot of unknown people. The coolest part about this so far, though, is that... the guy who wrote the book is writing the wrote the screenplay as well.
Awesome.
So that should add a little bit of
legitimacy
to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, this one just looks fun. I mean, plain and simple, it's probably not going to be that good. It probably will be. It just looks fun.
It does.
And I can't hate on anything like that.
Mission Impossible 5.
Well, he was in Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, too.
Right, so he'll be in Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Oh, good.
Kind of like Abraham Lincoln Vampire
Hunter. He's in Hansel, too. We're talking about Jeremy Renner, by the way.
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, it's really not too much to it, you know?
No.
It's pretty much Abraham Lincoln fights vampires.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's awesome. Who doesn't want to see Abraham Lincoln fight vampires?
Kicking some vampire ass.
Exactly. And, you know, I can't really hate on... the Republican who was also a Democrat.
That's right. The Republican who was not bipartisan.
Yeah.
Or too partisan.
And yeah, the next one on our list, pretty much if you haven't been excited for this movie, then just go. Just stop listening right now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You're stupid.
The Dark Knight Rises. Yeah, Christopher Nolan's Batman trilogy comes to a close. Christopher Nolan has said he doesn't want to do any more, that he's happy with what he's done.
Good.
This one's... It's going to be tough.
It's going to go either way.
It's going to be either... I think they've been pretty much giving Christopher Nolan the creative control that he's wanted.
Good.
So hopefully that doesn't...
That'll translate well.
Hopefully that'll translate well. It's really hard to judge this movie on how excited I am based on the trailers that are out, because Bane kind of looks really cool and scary, but it's like, what are they going to do with the overall movie in general?
Well, I mean, you can be excited, cautiously optimistic.
I'm really cautiously optimistic, because I don't think I've gone, and I was kind of cautiously optimistic for the Avengers, and Joss Whedon, of course, blew it out of the park. What I'm worried about with The Dark Knight Rises is that after... The Avengers, how disappointing some people are going to feel about it.
It could be.
Yeah. I have a feeling a lot of people are going to end up disappointed with this.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be fantastic. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, Christopher Nolan hasn't really...
He's never really let me down except for that weird
following. But that was his first movie, so like
yeah, he had no budget or anything.
He had no budget, and it was just like his first like kind of like artsy college movie.
Yeah, no, I mean
you can't really like fault him for that, and even then it wasn't terrible.
No,
it was just kind of like bizarre and just kind of hard to follow what was going on.
It was hard to follow following.
Yeah. But July 20th is when The Dark Knight Rises comes out.
Hooray.
Also known as Don't Bother Opening Another Movie This Week Day.
Exactly.
I have a feeling the sales for this are going to be huge. I don't know if they're going to be able to beat The Avengers, though. That's the question. The Avengers was massive.
People blew their load on The Avengers, I know. I think there's not going to be a lot of money left.
It's 2 months away. I mean, it's still a month away.
Yeah, I guess so. We'll see.
And people are really excited about this.
We'll have to see how it goes.
Yeah.
Only time will tell.
Oh, crap. I need you to look up, while we're talking about Total Recall, the release date for this. So the remake of Total Recall,
yeah,
which we've already mentioned, we had said in our last summer movie preview that we did not want.
No.
And, of course, we're getting it anyway. And then finally we saw the trailer.
Right.
And it actually ended up not being that bad.
It was not that bad. August
3rd. August 3rd again. Oh, so you got to choose between The Bourne Legacy and Total Recall that day.
No contest for me.
No contest for me. Yeah, Total Recall is going to be awesome on the big screen.
Agreed.
But Colin Farrell... See, I
they have Kate Beckinsale and Jessica Biel in it as well.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah, who else is in it?
There's
a decent amount
Bryan
of people.
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, Bryan Cranston's in it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a decent amount of people.
Ethan Hawke, John Cho.
Yeah, there's a decent amount of people in this movie.
Yeah, but it's just because there's people. There's also Kate Beckinsale and Jessica Biel as actors. I know. That's what I mean. It's rated R, though, right? There's such a drought.
Please tell me at least it's rated R. Does it even have a rating?
Doesn't say.
Oh, great. Awesome.
Not yet released. Yeah.
Which means it doesn't have a rating yet.
It's not.
Oh crap, which means there's still a chance for them to pull it back to PG-13.
Oh god, that would be terrible. I would not see it if it was.
No, I wouldn't, because I don't feel like dealing with all teenagers.
No, exactly.
The trailer made me kind of excited for it.
Yeah, it looked really good, but I'm telling you, if it's rated PG-13, I'm not seeing it.
No, not at all.
So.
It's a little bit late for them to be changing the rating, though, so.
Yeah.
So, well, let's see what happens. But, again, Colin Farrell, it looks decent. I think Colin Farrell has the acting chops to at least pull it off.
I think he can.
Yeah, I think he can, too. I'm just a little nervous on, you know, how overall what they do with it at this point.
Right.
This movie I'm probably the most excited to see, and I probably will end up seeing it next week, or at least sometime after that. Prometheus.
Yeah.
Ridley Scott goes back to sci-fi horror, and of course, the actors say it's not a prequel to Aliens.
I'm just repeating what they said. I know. That's what they said.
Ridley Scott has even said it. However, visually, and the universe that it takes place in, is a spiritual prequel to Aliens.
Okay, that's fine.
Even in the trailer, it shows facehuggers. So I don't know how it's not a spiritual, you know, I don't know. I have to see it now, because it could be that they're just totally misleading us.
Could be. It happened before.
Paranormal Activity 2.
Drive.
Oh,
in a good way, though.
Drive is on Netflix now, by the way.
Oh, is it?
On Netflix Instant, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm watching it.
Yeah.
I'm watching it.
Yeah, Drive is on Netflix Instant.
Love that movie.
Yeah, that movie was such a disappointment that it didn't get anything at the Oscars.
I know, that made me sad.
But Prometheus looks really good. I'd say definitely check this movie out if you can, only because Ridley Scott's going back to sci-fi horror.
Taking it back old school.
Looks awesome.
Does look awesome.
And then the last one we're kind of just throwing in there, I'm really could care less either way. I'm waiting to hear what people say about it
right,
for this one.
That's how I feel about it.
The Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It comes out July 3rd. Without Sam Raimi at the helm, and with Marvel not directly doing it because it's still owned by Fox and Sony, or still owned by Sony, I'm just kind of like sitting on my laurels on this one and waiting until I hear a lot more about it because.
Yes.
I mean, I'm just done with Spider-Man.
Are you?
I'm just done with Spider-Man. Huh. I mean, I can only deal so much with Spider-Man complaining about being an orphan, you know?
He's not even an orphan.
I know.
He's just like a half-orphan.
I know. I just don't care about Spider-Man. He's such a boring character to me.
He's a little bitch.
He's just a boring character to me.
I like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
But I just... It was pretty much ruined with Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man 3 pretty much killed it.
It killed it for me.
It killed it.
Topher Grace's Venom.
Yeah. I'm gonna wait. I'm just gonna sit here and wait and hope that, you know, I hear some good things from critics and people who've gone and seen it.
Right.
And, you know, hopefully after that, everything's good. But we're gonna take a break now, and when we come back, we're gonna do our movie of the week, and we're gonna do some video games, and, we'll be right back. It's part two.
Part two, episode 6 of season 2, 262, some shit.
26262?
I don't know, something like that.
8375309?
Yes, 8675309.
Whatever, same thing.
Wow, totally different number, though.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Same idea.
The same idea, different number. Yeah.
It's Jenny, whatever, doesn't matter.
Whatever.
It doesn't matter. I mean, honestly, in the grand scheme of things... Doesn't matter.
What are you talking about? You still talking?
Yeah, I have to. It's
Jesus.
Part of doing this podcast.
God.
All right, so movie of the week.
Grandma's Boy.
Grandma's Boy.
One of the best movies ever.
And your ghost is here.
Yep. Just
open the door for us.
Yep.
That's good.
That's good.
Yeah. Grandma's Boy.
Grandma's Boy is one of the best movies ever made for stoners everywhere.
How did he see me?
How did he see me? Oh, it's so good.
Oh my gosh, there's so many great moments in that movie.
It's so quotable.
It's so quotable. And it's funny, too, for video gamers because...
Yeah, it is.
Because it's about video game testers.
Yeah, and they're awesome.
And they're awesome.
And the one has to move in with his grandma and her two crazy roommates.
Yeah, but it's a fucking sweet bed.
Oh, car bed.
Car bed.
Car bed.
It's a fucking sweet car.
It's a fucking sweet car.
Nick Swardson is hilarious.
Oh, he's so funny in that movie. He makes that movie for me.
I've been with... You're my first woman I've ever been with.
You're my, 3,000-something. I should have worn a condom. That movie's so funny. Stop, Rocky.
What do you call her? Silver Fox?
Silver Fox. That's what he calls her. Silver Fox. She gave Charlie Chaplin a handjob.
Yep.
Was he silent? Not after I got done with him.
What? My grandma's in trouble.
What? My grandma's in trouble. I'll be right there.
Dude, I'm way too high to go to drive to the devil's house.
To drive to the devil's house. Drive, monkey, drive! Oh, gotta see it. Gotta see it to understand even what we're talking about.
Kevin Nealon is fantastic in it.
He's hilarious, as always.
I had a dream that I was a dolphin.
And we were swimming with the birds or something. Something like that. It's so bizarre.
How much pot do you smoke, Mr.
No, where do you get your weed? From you, Dante?
Oh, Mr. Cheezle.
Mr. Cheadle. Hey, Mr. Cheadle.
So much fun. Oh, remember that one, like that period of time when we owned this movie, where we watched it for,
I found it.
Yeah, I know, but we watched it, like...
Every day.
Every day for, 3 times in one day.
Yeah, we did. We watched it so many times. We went on, a Grandma's Boy spree, where we just, watched it for, a week straight.
Oh, my gosh. So, it's done by Adam Sandler's production company.
Happy Gilmore Productions or something.
Yeah.
Or Bill... What is it? Happy Madison.
Yeah, Happy Madison production. And it's hilarious.
And it's hilarious.
Yeah. Nick Swardson.
See it.
Um,
it's old, but it's funny.
Yeah. It's really funny.
Totally worth it.
Totally worth seeing. Especially, even if you're a gamer and you don't like people, stoner comedies.
It's still really funny.
It's still really funny because there's enough video game humor in there to also be funny.
Oh, totally. Or enough.
High score, what does that mean? Did I break it?
Did I break it? What does that mean?
What does that mean?
So, yeah. No, it's a really good movie.
It is a really good
movie.
It's really funny. All right. So, it's time for, that's it. Movie of the week. I'm not sure. I don't think you can watch it on instant Netflix.
I don't think so. We tried it.
But
it wasn't
definitely rent it.
Rent it. Yeah. It's worth it. It's hilarious.
Worth it. Video game awesome time.
Me checking out.
Oh, goodbye, Liz.
Goodbye.
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 Awesome.
Awesome.
I'm flying.
Awesome. So, yeah, Max Payne 3.
Awesome.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that
kind of
annoying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I don't think... Yeah, Rocky. Thanks, Rocky.
Wow.
Thanks, Rocky. Hey, Rocky, you want to say something for the people in this show, you know?
Hey, Rocky.
Hey, Rocky. You want to talk to somebody? You want to say something?
He's like, no, I'm just going to chew on this plastic
thing. I'm going to just chew on this plastic thing and
fuck shred it up so that it gets everywhere, all over the carpet.
And screw your show up at the same time, because that's what I do. I'm Rocky the dog.
Look at him. He just looked at you like, what?
Yeah, he's like, shut up, motherfucker.
I know. He's going to punch you in your face.
He is going to punch me in the face. So, yeah, Max Payne 3.
Right.
I really didn't know what to expect going into this in terms of how much I was going to enjoy it.
Right.
I was really kind of nervous at first.
Were you?
Well, I mean, it's been almost like 11 years since Max Payne had come out, since Max Payne 2 had come out, and the character himself was fine, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily the character that I was worried about. It was just a lot of how was the game going to handle.
Right.
You know, what were they going to do to bring it into this generation?
Right.
And, yeah, pretty much Rockstar answered...
Every single question you had, every single concern?
Every single concern I had, except for necessarily the multiplayer. And, which isn't terrible. It's a bit generic. And I had this conversation with somebody the other night. Oh, I didn't really have a conversation with anybody. For some reason, I just lied totally.
Oh, really? For some reason,
yeah,
I wonder.
Yeah. I don't know why I lied. But Modern Warfare and the Call of Duty games in general are kind of like the benchmark for me for what I consider a decent multiplayer experience.
Right.
And Max Payne 3 has a passable experience, but Call of Duty is just very smooth, you know?
Right.
You jump into a lobby, you wait until the match starts, probably no more than about a minute, just enough time. Depending on when you jumped into the lobby for people to make sure the loadouts are all up to par, you know, and check to see what they want to do, check any upgrades that they've gotten, anything that they've won leveling up or anything like that. Max Payne 3's multiplayer system is really bogged down in ineffectiveness. And not necessarily ineffectiveness, it's just very slow.
Right.
And then when you get into an actual match, there's a lot of problems with spawning. Respawn points are really terrible. I've had so many games where I've spawned in front of an enemy and got shot as soon as I spawned.
Oh, that's lame.
And it's like, oh, great. And there was nothing I could do. I couldn't even turn around to do anything about it because as soon as I spawn, I'm dead.
Right.
So that was kind of annoying. And it wasn't... Which seems kind of odd because the matches themselves, there's not a lot of movement on the map between like players moving back and forth. Like a lot of people are just kind of holding up.
Uh-huh.
And in some of the patches, it does seem like it's gotten better, from what I understand. There were two game modes though that really kind of set this multiplayer apart that actually made it really fun. And I'd like to see more of stuff like this from other developers down the line.
Yeah.
And actually, it's something that I think it's Insomniac has already done with the Resistance title, with the Killzone titles.
Uh-huh.
There's this one game mode called Gang Wars. And right. So you take, like, I think it's, like, anywhere up to, like, 18 players in a lobby.
Right.
And you start off, and you each start off as two separate gangs, and you have an objective. And whoever wins that match, their objective, then, you know, it goes on to the next match.
Right.
And the objectives change each time.
Okay.
And the spawning system never seemed to have a problem with being spawned in front of anybody or anything like that in that game mode. So that was actually a little bit better. I have a feeling what the problem has been in Team Deathmatch is that because the maps are set for team deathmatch and deathmatch. Uh-huh. It just kind of spawns randomly, and that for whatever reason in the coding somewhere, it's not registering that you're on a team. So okay. It's not spawning you with a team. It's spawning you
on your own.
It's spawning you on your own because of the death. It's still thinking of deathmatch, just straight up free for all deathmatch. But that's again something that can be patched up down the line.
Right.
Because other than that, the multiplayer is really kind of fun. It takes a long time to level up though. Like I'm only like level 5 or 6.
Right.
It just takes a long time. It seems like they put a high number on experience points for what you need to level up. But it doesn't seem like you get a lot of experience throughout a match. But I've seen a lot of people like walk out of a match with like 3,000 points, and I'm like, how did they do that? And you have to chain like all these different like combo like kind of stuff to do it, and it's just like you have to really know the game and the multiplayer inside and out to be really successful with it.
Right.
And it's complicated, and that's fine, but it's not really open for newer players.
Right.
The other mode that I kind of really enjoyed was Painkiller. And Painkiller starts off, and it's a free-for-all match. So everybody's going to fight each other.
Right.
And then you fight each other. Whoever gets the first kill becomes Max Payne.
Okay.
In a big enough lobby, whoever kills the next player becomes Passos.
Okay.
Max Payne's buddy in the story mode.
Okay.
And the goal is then to kill Max Payne.
Okay.
But Max Payne has all his powers from the game.
Right.
So it's actually like that.
It's even.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. That's a really cool game. Game mode. Story wise, I just wanted to talk about multiplayer first because it was the biggest disappointment. It wasn't even a big disappointment. It was just kind of a disappointment. Campaign wise, though, this game is probably the most perfect action campaign I've played ever in a video game.
Wow.
Ever. The pacing is dead on. From the moment the game starts to the moment the game ends, I never felt like there was a dull moment that needed to be left out.
Right.
Where it was like they could have cut this whole segment out.
Everything was relevant.
I've heard complaints about the checkpoint systems. I didn't really notice any problems with the checkpoint systems.
Okay.
I don't know where these complaints are coming from, so if anybody has any feedback, please let me know, because I did not experience any of those problems.
Right.
Story-wise, it's a little bit, it's not as dark as the other Max Paynes in terms of the personal drama between Max Payne.
Yeah, that's probably a good thing.
But there's some twists, and it is twisted. Yeah, it is like, holy crap, like,
awesome.
Wow. Yeah. I don't want to spoil anything because a lot of it involves the characters in the game.
Right, don't spoil it.
So I'm not going to spoil it. But needless to say, when you finally figure out why everything's happening, you're like, yeah, that was awesome. These guys deserve to die.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, the characterization of Max Payne in this one is really great because it's kind of like this. It takes place in Brazil. Sao Paulo, Brazil, so it's kind of like you got all these bright colors and everything.
Right.
And then you got like Max Payne's like dark and twisted like commentary, which like kind of like plays off perfectly off each other.
Yeah.
Like on one hand it's like, oh my god, this is beautiful, like bright colors, you know, everything's popping and everything looks fantastic.
Right.
And the details are fantastic, like you can shoot a pane of glass and it'll crack, right?
That's impressive.
And then you can like shoot dodge through that broken piece of glass, and it'll like shatter, like that. And when you do, if you do a shoot dodge, Max Payne will like, if you do it into a piece of, like a barrier or something, you'll see Max like try and like protect his head while he's doing it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's like this is they're like Rockstar has perfected the art of details in storytelling, in this game. I mean, even to the soundtrack.
Soundtracks for Rockstar's games are always good.
Oh yeah, but they use a combination of licensed tracks, which there are a decent amount of licensed tracks. A lot of them kind of Hispanic Latino kind of tracks.
Mm-hmm.
There are some American tracks in there, and a lot of like drum and bass and that kind of stuff. But
right.
What they had this group called Health do the main soundtrack.
Uh-huh.
And that soundtrack, there are no words to describe. Like, you listen to the soundtrack, and there's certain scenes, like the first part of the game, like, maybe, like, for the first, like, couple missions, I really wasn't paying attention to the soundtrack.
Right.
I really wasn't noticing. And then, like, near the end of the game, I started, like, really, like, hearing the soundtrack,
And it was awesome.
It just created these scenes of, like, intense firefights with, like, this music. It's the best way to describe it is a cacophony of violence and sound while playing Max Payne.
Mm-hmm.
It is a symphony to listen to. And it's just beautiful. This Max Payne 3, I don't see... I keep looking at the lineup of other games coming out this year.
Right.
And unless there's a huge surprise...
Right.
And a lot of the games that probably could have made it to Game of the Year have been pushed back to 2013 now.
Right.
Maybe the only other one that really has even a small sliver of a chance at this point is Resident Evil 6.
Right.
For Game of the Year. I don't really... I mean, obviously Mass Effect 3...
Right.
Which I'm playing right now, will be up on a lot of the lists for consideration.
Right.
As probably will be, like, Dragon's Dogma, which just came out, which I've heard good things about. Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah, that looks awesome.
Yeah, have you heard about that?
I've seen the commercial.
Yeah,
for it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
There's a cool part in that game where you can pick people up and throw them into the ocean.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that does look fun. That's a game that when I see around the way for, like, a pretty decent price I might pick up, but for right now I'm just not that interested. I have enough of the games to play.
Right.
So yeah, I don't really see, and maybe Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning and Diablo 3
uh-huh.
are like the only real games that I can see potentially being Game of the Year at this point.
Right.
Oh, and Journey, of course.
Oh, Journey.
Journey to me is a perfect game as well.
Game.
Yeah, but pretty much for the GameEffect.com, I am rooting heavily for Journey or Max Payne 3.
Yeah.
I'd be happy with either one of those being Game of the Year.
Right.
But I definitely don't... I would not be satisfied if anything else at this point got it.
No.
I mean, Max Payne 3 has ruined games for me. Has ruined games. I'm playing Mass Effect 3 right now. I am so bored with it.
Aww.
I literally just play multiplayer because that's the only enjoyment I get out of it. I'm playing the campaign. I'm like, alright, I'm going here and shooting stuff. Alright, I'm going here and shooting stuff. And you know what? That's the same thing I did in Max Payne 3.
Right.
But Rockstar made it...
Fun.
Fun. Actually, like, enjoyable. Like,
right.
Oh my god, this is awesome. Bullet time is crazy. Shooting a guy in the face and watching the hole open up in his face is awesome.
That's awesome.
You know? Like, it's just like... It's just hard to compare. Now, for Mass Effect 3, I will say there are some improvements over Mass Effect 2. Because I was not totally blown away with Mass Effect 2.
Right.
I really enjoyed the fact that a lot of my choices have the chance to carry over in the Mass Effect. But the improvements so far are in the visuals,
right.
Primarily. However, I hate to say this, but it feels like the mission structure is built around the same idea of multiplayer.
Right.
You know, it kind of feels like I'm doing missions as Commander Shepard, but I could also have been doing these missions in multiplayer as well.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, I'm just kind of not that excited. I'm just not that excited. I'm just not getting into it.
Right.
Just not at all. And I hate that because I really did kind of... I played Mass Effect 2 to death, but
right.
Mass Effect 3 is just kind of like, all
right,
I've done this, you
right.
know? Like, I don't really feel like there's been any change to it.
Right.
I feel like they updated the graphics, which is great because it now looks fantastic.
I'm sure it does.
But yeah, it doesn't really feel all that different, and it's just kind of like, all right, I've been here and done that.
Right.
Now I did play through Half-Life 2 recently,
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of happy that I finally did. I only played through Half-Life 2. I have not played through Half-Life 2 Episode 1 or Episode 2 yet,
mm-hmm.
and I will be getting to those sometime in the near future. Half-Life 2. Was pretty fun. I have to commend Valve for what they've done in their video games in terms of being able to tell a story without having to rely on cutscenes.
Right.
There is not a single cutscene in that game that doesn't actually happen from your perspective of Gordon Freeman.
Right.
You know, and there are certainly places where you can't move or do anything and you're forced to see certain things, but, you know, that they have to tell a story somehow.
Right.
There were some segments throughout the game that really frustrated me, and primarily, actually, it was just really one that really frustrated me. There's this part where you're on this airboat, and you have to, like, go around and, like, take out all these different, like, you have to, like, open up all these different gates, and it was just really frustrating because it just wasn't that fun. Like, the controls were terrible for
right.
it, which is kind of funny because then later on down the game, you get to a dune buggy segment, and the dune buggy was fine. I had no problem with the dune buggy. So, you know, that's just, you know, just weird, bizarre kind of thing. And maybe it's just because I'd finally gotten used to the controls at that point. But I do have to commend Valve for their ability to tell a complete story without relying on cutscenes, because they are fantastic with that. They are fantastic with creating a world that actually, like, has life, that you don't need to sit there and watch cutscene after cutscene. And I even have to give them props on, like, puzzles in a first-person shooter, because they really do puzzles better than anybody else. And weapons. There were some cool weapons in that game.
Yeah,
there was this, they had the gravity gun, which was fantastic. Pick up stuff from, like, around the environment and, like, fling it back at people.
Uh-huh.
So, like, at one point you get a saw blade, you get the gravity gun, and there's a saw blade sitting on a table. So you pick up the saw blade, and it's sitting there, and you got it, like, holding. And then, like, all these, like, head crab, like, zombies show up. And you fling it at them, and it cuts them in half, and it was awesome. And then there was, like, the pulse rifle was fantastic. That was a great weapon to use, the pulse rifle. And there's just a lot of cool weapons in there. And I have to admit, it was really fun.
Okay.
There was a couple difficulty segments near the end of the game that were really kind of difficult.
Right.
And then there were also some segments near the end of the game that just seemed like it could have been harder. Like, the ending of the game itself has just kind of left me feeling like, eh. Like, I feel like Valve, I feel at this point, even though Valve hasn't officially announced a Half-Life 3, they owe it to gamers who have played through all the Half-Life games and all the expansions and all the episodic content that they put out for Half-Life 2 to announce a Half-Life 3 at this point.
Right.
Because gamers love Gordon Freeman. There's no denying that, right? We love Gordon Freeman. And we want to find out what happens to Gordon Freeman.
Sure.
You know, like, it's just, I don't know, just happily.
Suspense,
yeah. And, I mean, I get it. Valve is doing their thing, and I can't really tell them when to make a game or what game to make. But,
tell them when to make a game.
But,
do it.
Do it. Make a game.
You better make this game right now.
Yeah, but, but, I mean, we'll see.
We'll have to see.
Yeah. So that's the end of the game, at the end of the game. The end of the episode.
Game over.
This episode is dedicated to your brother and his new wife, Ashley, and their family.
And their family, little Lily and Jackson and baby Violet. We find out tomorrow if it's a girl or a boy.
Oh, good.
So, I'll let you keep you guys updated. Pretty sure it's a girl.
All right.
So, baby number 3 will probably be a girl.
So, yes. And all the music this episode was from their wedding.
From their wedding. So, from their playlist.
From their wedding playlist. So,
yes.
Please enjoy it. I don't know what it is yet. I apologize.
I do, and it's decent.
I don't know what songs were chosen for the episode, but
they'll be good.
So, thank you for listening.
We'll be back hopefully in a week.
Yeah. Sundays seem to be working pretty well for recording, but probably next week it'll have to be a little bit different.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll have to maybe do an earlier episode next week.
Okay, well, don't care.
All right, yos.
All right, guys.
Peace out.
See ya.